Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
This is Pastor Jesse Wagoner from Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located in Charleston, West Virginia. I want to take a moment before we get to our Bible study for today's broadcast to thank you for being one of our listeners. We appreciate your investing your valuable time into the study of God's Word. It is a joy to bring you these broadcasts week after week, and let me encourage you to access even more quality Bible teaching and to do that online. Simply visit our website at calvarywv.com and click on the link Study Online. There you'll find access to literally hundreds of Bible studies, both in audio and some in video format. Most of them have downloadable study guides and study outlines to assist you in your study of God's Word. These are organized by different topics. They are organized by seasons of the year. You're going to find a great wealth and resource of biblical data and information and inspiration to help you in your walk with God. Secondly, just as we know our mobile devices need a recharge regularly to keep that battery fully charged, you know, we need to do the same in the spiritual realm. Many of us have a habit of accessing things like this broadcast online, of being part of a local church, but you know, we need through the week, we need to be recharged in our spirit as well, and that's where Recharge Video comes in. We encourage you to visit that website at rechargevideo.com. You can subscribe to videos that are delivered directly to your mobile device or to your computer. These are about 2 minutes in length. They include a brief message from me that is focused on a scriptural theme and also encourages you to take a look into God's Word and to think God's truths and then to put it into place in your life. And now it's time for our Bible teaching today. We trust it will be a particular blessing and meet a particular need in your life today. You can open your Bibles, if you will, today to Daniel chapter 1 as we continue our study that we've entitled The Everlasting Kingdom. And we began last week, and we're going to pick it up today in verse 8 of chapter 1 and see what we can learn today. You know, there's a reality for us that we are to live for Christ. We are to represent and to have the values of His eternal kingdom in our lives. There's a certain standard of right and that we need to maintain, morality in which we need to live, purpose for which we need to serve. We understand those things, but we also are very aware. I don't need to even convince you of this. We're all very aware that even though we're living for that kingdom, we are, in fact, bodily in this kingdom, and it is not very friendly to our lifestyle or to our Savior. We, in essence, are camped out behind enemy lines. And it seems as I grow older, it seems as if I watch even our culture and our society around us, it seems like it is becoming less easy to live for the Lord. And it's become much more hostile to our faith. And that may seem like a difficult thing, and it might be something for which we grieve, but we still live for our Lord, because even though we are camped out in enemy territory, we're about His kingdom. That's exactly what Daniel and others who were part of this group that were transplanted to Babylon were experiencing. The kingdom of their God had a very earthly manifestation. There was a capital city of Jerusalem. There was a place of worship, the magnificent temple that Solomon had built. There was a palace. There was a king. There was an administration. That was the kingdom of Jehovah God, the kingdom of our God. But in 605 BC, and it's interesting that we have even extra-biblical accounts of this, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem. His father was then the king of Babylon, and to sort of buy off and to stave off what was coming toward Jerusalem, they took precious metals and gold and silver and utensils out of the household of God and gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar also takes people with him. And that's where Daniel 1 comes in. He plunders the best and the brightest to take them back and to use their talents in the administration of the capital city of Babylon. But before anything else happens, Nebuchadnezzar gets word that his father, the king, has died. And in August of 605 BC, a little over 600 years before the time of Christ,
Nebuchadnezzar has to make a hurried trip back to Babylon because he needs to be installed as king before anybody does any funny business and gets in the way of that. But later, in two successive raids on Jerusalem, Jerusalem is leveled, the temple is destroyed, the palace is no more, the kingdom is destroyed. And it looks like, as we open chapter 1, that the kingdom of this man is ruling and the kingdom of God is nowhere to be found. But Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of this eternal kingdom. And he is the one that it was identified in Luke that he would be the one who would sit forever on the throne of his father David. It would be indeed an everlasting kingdom. But now they face a dilemma, and we begin seeing this here in verse 8, of is it possible, just is this true? Is it possible, and I want to live in a lifestyle that is pleasing to God when all that is around is opposed to that? Well, we face the same thing today, and I want to assure you today that living in purity is indeed possible. And that's what I want to share with you this morning as we look at kingdom living, and living in purity is indeed possible. And we find it true. If you look at verse 8, and I just want to read the first portion of verse 8 just to get the flavor, and then we'll go verse by verse all the way through the end of the chapter. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What a wonderful example, and what a wonderful place for us to fix our attention this morning on this man, where we can learn how we can indeed live in purity in spite of this world that presses in upon us. And you understand, wherever we go, many times we are, who are followers of Christ, are in a minority. Sometimes in our places we go, we might be the only person that is seeking to stand for Christ and live for Christ. When you step into your school tomorrow, you no doubt will be in the minority of those that are followers of Christ. When you go to work tomorrow in your workplace, you might have some believers that you fellowship with, if that is true, in your place of business. Praise the Lord for that. But many of us go into places every day where it is the atmosphere is very unkind and the vocabulary is very different and the values expressed are very out of sync with what we read in the Word of God. How do we function in those settings? Well, I want to share with you five things that we can extract from this account in these few verses to help us understand that living in purity is possible if these things are in place. Number one, living in purity is possible if you take obedience seriously. If you take obedience seriously here in verse 8. Now, he simply says he purposed in his heart. He set it his life's goal. He set it his standard internally. I'm not going to defile myself. And he tells us what it was that he considered defiling. It says that with the portion of the king's delicacies and also his wine. Now, we understand that many people would have considered, well, this is life on Easy Street. Daniel's not going to have to worry where his food is going to come from. The next meal is going to be provided from the royal household of the king of that entire empire. I mean, whatever, I don't know if they had chefs back in that day, but whatever the chef of Nebuchadnezzar was fixing for the day, that's what was going to be delivered to you in the finest of wine. Well, why was that a problem? Well, it's a problem for two or three reasons. First of all, you understand that he was Jewish. He was of the house of Israel. And God had laid out in the law of Moses that there were certain things that were clean and certain things that were unclean. We would say it in today's world, eating kosher. And there were certain things probably put in front of him that was not in the strictest dietary prescriptions of the law. So if he ate these things, he would be unclean according to the law. Secondly, many of these foods, and it was common custom in their day, and by the way, we've talked about how Babylon was full of all these huge, enormous, you know, architecturally impressive, but nonetheless spiritually oppressive temples to all of these pagan gods. And oftentimes they would prepare these food and they would take it and they would present it as an offering to these gods, and it would be laid out and they would do their religious ceremony over it, and then they would take it to whoever's going to eat it and, you know, let the buffet begin, you know, just have at it. But that caused a problem. Particularly, there's some verses back in the law that indicates that those things that were offered to idols were things that should be avoided. So he didn't want to be unclean that way. And then there's the drinking of wine. In the Old Testament, it was very clear that drunkenness was absolutely forbidden according to the law and the standard of the day. In fact, the Jews of the Bible times, and this is attested in many documents and things that we understand today, they would never drink wine straight. It would always be mixed with water. Typically, in a Jewish household, if wine was consumed, it would be mixed 4-1, three parts water to one part wine. In fact, very careful and law-observant Jews would mix it 10-1. Because they would want to water it down so there would be no danger of if they consumed this that they could get drunk on it, could get inebriated on it. And probably it also had been offered to idols as well. So he asks if he can be, in essence, let off of this prescription. If I can be let out of this requirement. You understand that there would have been great pressure for Daniel to compromise, wouldn't there? And you and I feel it in our world today. You know, you don't have to obey all those strict and restricting standards of right and wrong. And I understand you can take, you know, restrictions and take them to the extreme. That's what the Pharisees did. They added layer upon layer upon layer, even on top of the Bible, and made it very constricting for people. I understand that. I understand that we are not saved by keeping the law, by do's and don'ts. We're saved by faith in Christ and Christ's work in us and the work of regeneration of the Spirit and so forth. But God expects us. There are some things that are right and wrong. There are things that He forbids and things that He commands. So we need to take obedience seriously. You think of the way they could have rationalized this. I mean, after all, I'm not in Judea anymore. I'm not in Jerusalem anymore. And even though the Romans don't come along until generations later, when in Rome do what the Romans do, right? Well, I guess they're going to do what the Babylonians do. I don't want to make waves. After all, God is the one who allowed this to take place. It's not my fault I'm in Babylon. It's not my fault that this is all I have to eat. See how we can just take things and we can just spend them and rationalize. And after all, if I refuse to eat what the king has for me, I may get in trouble. I may be even in risk of losing my life if I don't eat and drink as everybody else does. And by the way, that's probably the most powerful one. This is what everybody else did. You know how we face this pressure? We call it peer pressure. We talk about children and teens. When we talk about adults, we call it other things, but it's the same thing. We just want to fit in. We don't want to be like everybody else. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be looked at as strange and different. Friends, you and I need to be people who take obedience seriously. We need to take obedience seriously. And that's exactly what Daniel does. That we take God at His word, and what He says goes, and we put it into place, and we don't compromise, we don't try to rationalize. That means when God, and it makes God's top 10 list, does it not? When God tells us that we shouldn't lie, that we should not bear a false witness, that means we should speak the truth, that is just the standard that you and I need to obey at all times. That's the standard. When God says there's some things that we should do and not do, it should affect where we go. It should affect how we speak and the words we speak. It goes from everything by, you know, what we eat, what we drink, or who we would sleep with. God has standards of what is right and what is wrong. And you and I, if we want to live in purity, let's don't adopt the thinking of the world and the way of the world and what everybody else does, but we come back to the simple reality that I'm going to walk in accordance with what I understand the Word of God says. The standard of obedience. By the way, it just works better. It just works better to be obedient to God because God can bless you in ways that He wouldn't otherwise. You go back to where I began about telling the truth. By the way, it's just much more practical to tell the truth. You do not have to have a good memory if you just tell the truth all the time. If you start lying, you better have a very good memory and take good notes so you get your story straight the next time you spin it out, right? And it puts you in a place where God can bless you. But what else is happening, and this is going to lead us into our second point, is because we would walk in obedience and we take obedience seriously, God can maneuver us into a place where He can do some amazing things. It might have seemed to Daniel and his friends that they have been put in a place that is awful and messed up and this is terrible, but God is maneuvering into a place where the seeming kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that seemed to be in decline, was about to be infiltrated by a little sleeper cell of four Jews that was going to enter into the kingdom administration at the highest order, and literally, and this will be, we'll see this very clearly beginning in chapter 2 next week. And by the way, read chapter 2 ahead of time. But we're going to see that this group of people, particularly Daniel, are going to shake this earthly kingdom to its core because God was maneuvering the right people at the right time in the right place. This is number 2. Living in purity is possible if you take obedience seriously. And second, if you stand for the faith publicly. This is all part of this plan to bring out this set of outcomes. He says in the end of verse 8, he says, therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, it's one thing to say, I'm going to take obedience separately, but it's a whole other thing to be public about that. To say, I am a follower of God in essence. I want to live in accordance with the law of my forefathers and the law of God. God requires us and God expects us to be public in our faith. That does not necessarily mean I don't think that we get a soapbox and we stand on the corner and shout at people, but we let people know in the course and the discourse of life that we are followers of Christ. We are willing to make that public. That we're willing to show that by our actions. We're going to be willing to show that by what we do and do not do. By the love that we express in a world that is scarce, where love is very scarce and it's lacking so much in life. You know, there is interesting how he approaches this. He works through the proper channels. He goes to his authority. Could I not defile myself with the eating of these foods? He does it respectfully. He does it in a very tender and gentle and proper way, but still he takes a step to make his faith public. If you go back to the year 1990, a movement started, which still goes on today, and many of our students here at Mount Calvary have been involved in. But it occurs every September 23rd, unless that day falls on a weekend, and then it shifts. Excuse me, September 23rd, yeah, that's the date, where students gather before school and gather around usually the flagpole, and it's called See You at the Pole. An opportunity for Christian young people outside of school hours to come and surround the flagpole. I know there's no flag in that picture, but they're doing the same thing. And to gather around, usually to pray, read some scripture, maybe sing a praise song or two, and just to let anyone who cares to know, I'm taking a public stand for the cause of Christ. Sometimes our young people put the rest of us to shame, and they're willing to publicly stand for the cause of Christ. Let me give you an opportunity that's coming up that you and I as adults or teens or whoever have an opportunity to do. This is in your bulletin. I would encourage you to go. It's May 5th, which is interestingly the National Day of Prayer. But Franklin Graham and the Graham organization is having a prayer meeting on the Capitol steps of every state capital in the United States, all 50 states. In May, it is our turn on May 5th. For 1 hour at noon, just gathering there. This is not partisan. It's not for a party or a politician or a candidate, but just calling God's people to pray. And if you've looked around at our country, we're in need of some prayer. And I would encourage you to go. I know some of you, maybe your schedule and work would not permit that, but it's in essence our opportunity to go and stand around the pole and say, I'm a follower of Christ and I'm willing to pray for this nation of ours. And there's information in the bulletin. There'll be a little invitation inserted into your bulletin next week, so you got a little notice on that. But for some of us, it maybe is not a big event. It is just the opportunity for us that when it comes the opportunity to share that we're a follower of Christ, that we share that we are a follower of Christ and our lifestyle matches it. Most of us have had those moments in life where after the fact we wish we could have spoken up when God gave us the opportunity and we just didn't take it. I'm so glad that Daniel took the opportunity when it was presented to him. So living in purity is possible if you take obedience seriously. Secondly, if you stand for your faith publicly. And thirdly, if you believe, really believe, that God is working privately. That means behind the scenes. This sort of overlaps with what we looked at last week. If you missed last week, that material's online. There's also about a 4-minute summary video online. There's a discussion guide that goes along with it. We're trying to give you all the helps that we can to help you in the study of Daniel as we go through it verse by verse through these weeks. But he's at work. It says in verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Well, how did that happen? Was Daniel just a really nice guy and everybody liked him and he smiled all the time? Did he do a favor? Did he do a favor for his boss? Did he, you know, slip him a juicy fruit gum on the way in? What did he do? How did he make a friend? Well, here's what he did. He just was busy serving his God, working as he should, and God brought the favor of this man upon him. Why? Because God was working privately behind the scenes. God is always at work. I told you last week, and I hope this reverberated somewhere in your week this week, that to not live so much by our senses, by what we see and hear and feel, but live more by what the Scripture says. And if you're going to live by what the Scripture says, you have to be in the Scripture. This is why we spend a lot of time verse by verse in the Bible. This is why we encourage our families to get alone with God, individuals get alone with God. If you've been here at Mount Calvary, you hear us say that all the time. It's the reason we encourage you to meet together in smaller groups where we center our teaching around the Bible, because we have to be informed and we have to be sustained and we have to be secured and we have to think correctly, and that has to come from the Scriptures, not by what our ears hear. Because what our ears hear, we hear that things are out of control and things are scary. We need to come back and publicly involve ourselves in this and believe that God is at work. Now, he understands, based on this statement, Daniel understands what the real issue is. In verse 10 it says, "And the chief of the eunuch said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink. Why should he see your faces looking worse than any young man who are your age, young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.'" Well, what his boss was worried about: you're not eating this nice food, and if you get sick, or you look unhealthy, or you are, you know, just not doing well, it's not going to be you who gets in trouble, it's going to be me who gets in trouble, and they're going to ask me, "What have you been feeding these guys?" And I tell them I've not been feeding them the right stuff, it's going to be me who's in trouble. So David, still believing that God is up to something and God is doing something, he sets up a situation where this could be proven. So, verse 11. "So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." Remember, we typically know those last three by their Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink." Let's just have a test. Just feed us what is clean and what is acceptable to us, and let's see how it turns out. Why? Because Daniel believed that God was at work, and nextly, I should say it this way, is because he trusted in God completely. You see, if we're going to live in purity, we have to trust in God completely that he is going to sustain us. He's going to make a way for us. Daniel believed that eating vegetables and water was going to make a way for him to still succeed. And I have to tell you, I wouldn't have much appreciated the diet that I would have been on if it was just vegetables and water, okay? I got to tell you that. I don't know how healthy that was. We don't know exactly what it was they ate. The Hebrew word for vegetables or pulse, if you're reading a King James, it just means that which comes from the earth. So it's plant, vegetable, that sort of thing. Vegetarian, we could say it that way. But it wasn't the typical diet of the Babylonians, and it wasn't the prescribed diet. But he was going to trust God to see him through, and says, "Let's just try it for 10 days and see how it works." You see, there comes that moment in our lives where we can try to walk in purity because we're obedient. We can be public in our faith. We can believe that God is at work behind the scenes. But there comes that moment when you kind of have to take the step and take the risky step and take the next step and just put it where it is all on the line. And that's essentially what Daniel does at this point. He believed God would make a way for him. Now, I know we as believers, sometimes we struggle with that. Again, that's why we have to come back to the Word of God, because the world tells us that things are bad. Does anyone besides me ever watch the Weather Channel? You know, if you watch the Weather Channel, you just assume you're going to die in any moment. It's true. I mean, you're going to freeze to death, you're going to cook. A big wave is going to wash you off the planet, a tornado, hurricane. And part of that is they want you to tune into their channel, so they try to make it very dramatic. If you feed your mind with the drama of the world to the point, and if you want to get your weather, that's okay. Okay, I'm not forbidding the Weather Channel. But if you feed your mind on the sensational of the world, and you tune into the cable news or the online news, you just come to this point of, there is no way. All is lost. We're doomed. Every one of us is doomed. We're not doomed. Why? Because you can trust God completely. And I don't know about you, but I need reminded of that more often than I'm really likely to tell you. But trust God completely. And if you're here this morning and you've never come to the point where you have trusted in God, in Jesus Christ, His provision for your salvation, I want to call you to that. I want to call you to that. Because that's the starting point. To come to understand that we are sinners before God. And the only solution for sin is death. The wages of sin is death, it says in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for you. He paid that price, and He invites you to come and accept that. I had the privilege of talking to someone after the early service this morning and was able to share the gospel with them. And you pray for this young person still struggling with this decision of to put their faith in Christ or not. And they come from a background where there's a lot of false teaching there. And we set up a situation where we can continue that conversation. But if that's you, I invite you to put your faith in Christ. If you need help with that, Pastor Tim will be here at the front. I'll be at the back. You can speak to one of us. You can speak to any of us anytime. You can come as we sing our last song. You can make your way down here. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you, answer your questions. And we would invite you to come and consider the claims of Christ. Trust in God completely. Well, here's what happens, verse 13. He's continuing talking here. It says, after these 10 days of water and vegetables, then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. Okay, it's us in this category. We're the vegetables and water crew. The meat and wine crew's over here. After 10 days, you see who looks best. I mean, there's a bit of risk here. He was trusting in the Lord. Look at verse 15. Here's how it ends. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh. I just love that phrase, don't you? In a world that puts a premium on skinny, that's for some of us, that's a comforting thought. But that's how they evaluated good health. If you were uber thin, you weren't nourished very well. You were sick. Fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So this became the permanent arrangement. God gave them a way to walk in purity. Why? Because they were very serious about obedience. They made their faith public in a proper way. They knew that God was working behind the scenes privately, and they trusted God completely through all of this. And now we've got set up what God's really up to. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these dear, faithful, standout men that in spite of all of the pressure that we know very little about in comparison, in spite of all the pressure to compromise, all the pressure to rationalize, we thank you that Daniel and these purposed in their hearts they would not defile themselves, that they were serious about obedience, that they were willing to make that public. They were willing to trust you completely and know that you're at work behind the scenes, and then to, as you would allow, serve you faithfully. Lord, if our need this morning is to confess and forsake something, Lord, help us to do it. Lord, if our need is to just recommit to living in purity and living in faithfulness to you in this dark and dirty world, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do it. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.